We welcome you this morning to our broadcast. You're listening to the Voice of Faith broadcast, brought to you this morning by the Church with a Vision, the First Pentecostal Church, located on 609 Goodwill Street, right here in the city of Minden. Our pastor, T.W. Barnes, and myself, Michael Gray, would like to give you an invitation to service this morning at 10 o'clock and this evening for evangelistic service at 7:15. And we want you to know that our vision includes you. Well, this is a very special weekend. This is what is known as Memorial Day weekend. Tomorrow we celebrate Memorial Day, where all the soldiers laid down their lives on foreign soil that we may have freedom. And we have something special today on this broadcast, and we hope you'll stay tuned, because I know this broadcast is going to touch your life, it's going to touch your heart, because we don't ever want to forget the price that was paid for our freedom. I want to play something by Paul Harvey, Wanted, a Portrait of Uncle Sam. Listen to it. It's very beautiful.
Wanted, a portrait. I have a commission for an artist, any artist, to paint a new portrait of Uncle Sam. You know, we have been portraying him as an old man. He's not really. He's just past middle age, as nations go. He's an uncle, not a grandfather. We've been thinking of him as an old gent, nine parts dead. Actually, Uncle Sam has yet neither the frailty nor the wisdom of old age. So I'm going to describe him as I see him, Mr. Artist, and if you can't capture him on canvas, I want to show him as he really is to the heirs who are trying to bury him. Paint me a man, a mixture of many nationalities, sandy hair receding, graying prematurely, a little overweight, a barely perceptible scar or so. He's had a few good scraps, you know. Oh, he was an energetic, unbridled youth. Born poor, worked hard, got rich, so quickly and so rich he's still self-conscious about his fortune, and so seeks almost with a passion to give it away. He was for a while something of a playboy, I guess you'd say. He's more settled now, but still self-conscious about success. Still lacking quite the maturity, the stability to match his station. He stoops a bit, purposely to appear humble, tips too freely and too much, bestows gifts beyond good taste, and so buys mostly envy. You've a big order here, Mr. Artist, because I do not want some abstract thing. I want a good, accurate, up-to-date photographic likeness of Uncle Sam. It's the eyes that'll be the hard part. He must wear the expression of a man who might be figuring a problem in higher mathematics, or nuclear physics, or listening to the bugle of an Ozark's coon dog, and understands each. Not a thick-necked, barrel-chested behemoth, not all muscles and masculinity. Remember, there is some woman in each gentleman. Maybe this will help if you see him as a man who is fond of all children, but who loves his own, and cannot hide his pride in all they do, who would appear least comfortable in dinner dress, uncomfortable in uniform, most comfortable sitting on the floor fixing a lamp cord with a screwdriver from the car and a paring knife from the kitchen. A man who is on speaking terms with God. But we must be honest or your oils will be wasted. His prayers are not generally a kneeling proposition, except in time of trouble. Usually it's in bed and in silence. With ample wealth, he manufactures fears about his health. Some ne'er-do-well nieces and nephews have told him how bad he looks, that there must be some serious thing wrong with him. There is not, of course, but he takes something for it anyway. He needs exercise more than he needs their habit-forming pills, but he takes the pills. Well, that's as much as I can tell you about him, Mr. Artist. He's neither saint nor ordinary. He's done some good work and had some good times. There's good stock bred into him, and he'll survive a few bad times, too. Paint him serious, almost intense, but with eyes creased by a smile which just left and expects momentarily to return. Lips full, good chin, just a hint of another one. Hands strong, halfway to being fists. I know it's not good to hurry you, Mr. Artist, but I would like to show such a portrait to his family while we're all together. So work quickly if you can, but above all, paint me a man so true to these specifications that his heirs of today's generation will stop trying to bury him prematurely under a mountain of pills for imagined senility ills, so that they will remember he is still the heavyweight champion of the world. He is not sick, he is not old, and he is not retiring. They've got to see him as he is, a virile, vigorous, versatile, wonderful guy. So they'll stop waiting for him to die. And loving him, help him to live.
Yes, and I love America, and I know you love America, and I love each of you men and women who may have served in the service. I appreciate you for what you did, for the part of your life you gave for your country. It is very appreciated, and this weekend and tomorrow we'll be remembering you, because this is what Memorial Day is all about, because you gave a part of your life that this country would have what it has, freedom. And I love America, and I know you do too. And we just want to keep on having freedom, freedom to worship freely, freedom to do as we wish, and I trust that freedom will be to go to church today and to worship Him, because it is a freedom that is not known around the world. Listen to this beautiful thing that says, I pledge allegiance.
Just recently, there's been quite a controversy over the Pledge of Allegiance. One group of people couldn't even write it. And it's become a part of me. And one day I heard the pledge like this. I'd like to say it for you. I, meaning me, an individual, a committee of one, pledge, dedicate all of my worldly goods to give without self-pity. Allegiance, my love and my devotion to the flag, our standard, old glory, a symbol of freedom. Wherever she waves, there's respect, because your loyalty has given her a dignity that shouts freedom is everybody's job. And I'll be united. That means that we have all come together. And of the states, individual communities that have united into 48 great states, 48 individual communities with pride, with dignity, and purpose. All divided with imaginary boundaries, yet united to a common purpose, and that's love for country of America and to the listener. A state in which sovereign power is invested and the representatives chosen by the people to govern. And government is the people, and it's from the people to the leaders, not from the leaders to the people, for which it stands. One nation, meaning so blessed by the hand of God, indivisible. Now that means incapable of being divided, with liberty, which is freedom, and the right of power to live one's own life without threat, or without fear, or some sort of retaliation, and of justice, the principle or quality of dealing fairly with others, for all. Which means it's as much your country as it's mine. Since I was a small boy in a two-room school in Alabama, two states have been added to this country of ours, and two words have been added to the Pledge of Allegiance: under God. Now, wouldn't it be a pity if someone said, that's a prayer? And that, too, would be eliminated from our schools. But thank God for America and for which she stands, under God. God bless you, America.
America, God save me, pray for me.
God bless America. Never forget it, friend, because we have a freedom that is unmatched in this world. And I want to just go a little deeper with it. I don't want to just remember those veterans, but I want to remember those soldiers of Jesus Christ that laid down their life for the gospel of Jesus Christ. For I believe that this is very important to us. This is something that we had best never forget, because we need a pure gospel, not just a gospel, but a pure gospel. And we have that today, friend. We at the Pentecostal Church, we preach the pure gospel just as Paul preached it, as Peter preached it, as John preached it, as the apostles preached it. We preach it too, because we believe in the purity of the Word of God, and presenting that Word in the purity that it truly is, the pure Word of God, the old time religion.
Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion.
Oh,
hallelujah. Hallelujah, good enough for me.
Yes, my friend, the old-time religion, my friend, is good enough for me, and it is good enough for you. It is a powerful gospel that I preach to you today. And today I want to just leave a thought with you out of Hebrews chapter 11, in memory of the soldiers of Jesus Christ. My friend, it is great and good to have a special day set aside for the soldiers that have fought in our major battles in this world, the Revolutionary War, the War of 1812, the Civil War, the World War I, World War II, Korean War, and Vietnam War. It's so good to set aside a day to remember what was done by those great and courageous men. But God forbid that we forget what was done by the soldiers of Jesus Christ for the gospel of Jesus Christ. For Hebrews 11 is a statement of by faith Abel, by faith Enoch, by faith Noah, by faith Abraham, Isaac and Jacob and Joseph, by faith Moses, by faith Rahab. And verse 13 states this, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. And then in verse 32, if you'll look with me there, it says, and what shall I more say? For the time would fail to tell of Gideon, and Barak, and Samson, and Jephthah, and of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Wherefore, seeing also we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. In memory of the soldiers of Jesus Christ, there were some great soldiers that fought in the Old Testament, fought for what they believed in, Jehovah God. They didn't know Jesus Christ as we know him, and they laid down their lives. Those prophets were killed. Those prophets were sawn asunder. They were stoned. They had their heads chopped off for this truth that they believed in that was to come, the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And he came. And he came. And the gospel was preached. And people received that gospel into their life. They received the Holy Ghost. Peter, John, Paul. It would fail me to mention all of them. But these in themselves were great soldiers of the cross. They held up this truth. They held up this banner that we know as the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul fought it. Paul wrote almost half of the New Testament, the epistles, Romans, and a lot of those afterwards. He wrote Thessalonica, Galatians, Colossians, Corinthians, Ephesians, all those books that he penned that we can look to and find encouragement there. But he spoke some words to 2 Timothy 4 and 6. He said, for I am ready now to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. This was a great soldier, the Apostle Paul, who had come to the end of his journey. He had fought a good fight. He had finished the course, and he had kept the faith. And he left us with a gospel. He left us with a pure gospel. Galatians says to us in the very first chapter, he told them in verse 7 that there were some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Jesus Christ. But it was the Apostle Paul who said that in verse 8 and 9. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And we have said before, I so say I again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. If Paul could preach to you on this radio broadcast today, this is what Paul would tell you about salvation. For it was Paul in Acts 19, when he came in contact with the disciples of John the Baptist, he asked them this pointed question, have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? My friend, the Apostle Paul believed in the Holy Ghost, evidenced by speaking in tongues. He said, I am glad I speak in tongues more than ye all. The Apostle Paul, if you will look at Acts 19, preached Jesus' name baptism. He preached Jesus' name baptism. My friend, the gospel of Jesus Christ has been perverted through the years. Council after council has added to and taken from the Word of God. But this soldier of Jesus Christ, Paul, he preached the truth. He preached the pure truth. He said, you've got to repent. You've got to be born again. You've got to be baptized in Jesus' name. You've got to receive the Holy Ghost. Believing is good, but have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? He told the disciples of John the Baptist. He preached a pure gospel. And if anybody preached any other gospel than that which is preached in the book of Acts, let him be accursed. For the Apostle Paul says, though I, or though an angel of heaven preach any other gospel, let him be accursed. My friend, that soldier, the Apostle Paul, held up the truth. And I tell you on this Memorial Day weekend service that we at the First Pentecostal Church hold up the truth. Is God alive in your life? If not, God invites you to come to Him today. He invites you to receive the fullness of the gospel of Jesus Christ. My friend, this truth cannot be diluted down. It must be taken wholly or not taken at all. My friend, the Apostle Paul believed in the gifts of the Spirit. The Apostle Paul believed in healing and miracles. And my Bible tells me that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he ever healed, he'll still heal. If he ever filled with the Holy Ghost, he'll still fill with the Holy Ghost. If he ever done this, he'll do it today. If he ever done anything in the Word of God, my friend, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. In memory of the soldiers of Jesus Christ. And I want to be a soldier in Jesus' army. I want to preach the whole truth. Nothing less. I tell you today that if you have not been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, my friend, you need to. Today is the day of salvation. Don't put it off. Don't go to some theologian and try to get him to explain his way out of it. My friend, you go to the Word of God. The Word of God says in Acts 2:38, when Peter was asked what they needed to do to be saved, Peter told them, repent and be baptized, not just 12 of you, but every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. My friend, when it came in Acts 2, 1-4, the Bible says they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. And my friend, the Holy Ghost hadn't changed at all. It still comes the same way. You'll speak in tongues when the Holy Ghost comes. That is the evidence that the Lord has taken up abode in your heart. And my friend, I don't want to offend anybody, but I just want to tell you today, as the Apostle Paul would have told you, have you received the Holy Ghost since ye believed, in memory of the soldiers of Jesus Christ. Paul would have preached that today, and I've preached it to you today. Now, what are you going to do with it, my friend? It's up to you. Jesus Christ never has forced his way in anybody's heart, but he waits on you to invite him in. If you'll repent of your sins, he will forgive you. He will forgive you, and you'll have a clean slate. But, my friend, the Bible just don't want you to be clean. He wants you to be filled, and he wants to fill you with his Spirit. He wants to have your sins or remit your sins in a grave of baptism. And, my friend, it is for you today. Don't take nothing less than the whole gospel of Jesus Christ. This light that has been shed abroad to me, I'm going to let it shine to all this world. I'm going to let you see it. I'm going to let the whole world see it. And I trust, I hope you'll come to this service, this Pentecostal service this morning at 10 o'clock. I hope you'll come tonight at 7:15, for God has something great for you. My friend, swallow your pride, get rid of your tradition, and come accept Jesus Christ the way he wants to be accepted, with the whole gospel of Jesus Christ. My friend, Jesus Christ either wants all of you, or he wants nothing at all. Forget this traditional Christianity and live for God like the Apostle Paul lived for God, where you'd be willing to lay your neck down on a chopping block and say, I fought a good fight, I finished the course, I've kept the faith, and I know there's a crown of righteousness waiting on me on the other side. Can you say that today, friend? Are you a soldier in God's army? My friend, with the First Pentecostal Church, we want you to know that we care for you. We just want to preach to you the whole counsel of God. We invite you to our service this morning at 10 o'clock, this evening for evangelistic service at 7:15. Our church is located on 609 Goodwill Street. And remember, Jesus Christ is just a prayer away. Can you hear him calling you today? He is calling. Won't you come? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. I'm going to let it shine. I'm going to let it shine. Will you let it shine in your life? Jesus Christ wants to come into your life. Will you allow him to? He's waiting. He's waiting on you. He's softly and tenderly calling to you. Jesus calls to you. I'm going to let this light shine. God bless you today. Happy weekend. I hope you'll come be with us this morning in service. God bless you.